will now call to order the Wednesday, February 21st meeting of the Discovery Bay Finance Committee. Roll call.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members were present. And Director Porter joining remotely due to a medical emergency.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment? Is there anyone in the room or on the phone who would like to make any public comment?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, then we will close public comment and go on to C to approve our draft minutes. Any comment?
I make a motion to approve draft minutes.
And I second.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye. Okay, and now we are going to have an update from Alan regarding assessments, community facilities district, homeowners association, etc.
Yes. Good afternoon. Since our last meeting, myself and the general manager actually were on a Zoom call with Harrison Associates, and just a quick recap, Harrison Associates came before a committee in 2019 looking at this very issue, but it was never brought forward to the board to discuss. I believe the information that was presented in that initial report, the directors at that time did not want to bring forward. During the phone conversation, or excuse me, during the Zoom conversation that the general manager and I had, basically what they were explaining to us is in order to do the study again, they would have to update the numbers in the last report. And talking with the general manager, explained that it is quite a bit of work, which I haven't done it before, but it was intriguing to see all the different things that they had done. During this process, I learned that when this comes before, if it is approved and goes before the board and the board wants to move forward with it, first of all, our consultant was going to charge us $2,500 to do a presentation, which doesn't include the prep for an assessment or homeowners association if the board chose to go that way. So when we were talking with them, what they were explaining is that they hadn't had experience putting together a homeowners association, but they were going to be researching it. But obviously they've done assessment districts. One of the things that they explained to us, which I was unaware of, is that during the course of this, you have to have a 50% and one of the people who actually vote for this to pass. There's quite a bit of prep that goes into it. You have to have community meetings. You have to send out information to the residents to let them know what you're proposing. During that conversation, they seemed very eager to want to move forward with this project, but obviously there are implications that if this were to go forward as an assessment, basically the assessments that are currently throughout Discovery Bay will remain, and this would be an overlay. So there would be additional assessment to the residents of Discovery Bay. And so at this time, I'm bringing this forward to see how the committee would like to proceed, if they would like to have a presentation from Harrison Associates or if they want us to go through other vendors. Although Harrison Associates already done the work, they just have to plug in new numbers.
So does the work that they already have, is it all truly relevant to 2024? Or when they say they're going to have to update the figures, are they going to have to go through and redo anything anyway? So would it really make that big of a difference if we went to another firm? I mean, is there cost savings for us at all?
Well, they already have basically the template from what they had done before. What they explained to us, it would be just going and plugging in new numbers that they have already done once. So they definitely have the experience doing that. I don't know how much work it would entail, but the general manager telling me it's quite a bit.
Did we look into any other companies to find out what costs are?
No, we haven't, because we were going with the vendor that did the previous report. But if that's the direction from the committee, we can start looking into other vendors.
What's the cost associated with them updating what they did in 2019?
We haven't gotten that far. They just wanted to come do a presentation to the committee and then to the board, and each one was going to cost $2,500 to do that.
So it would be a total of $5,000, yeah, just to come and talk to us.
Yeah, and my understanding was it was going to be very high level. It was just going to explain the procedures of how to for an HOA, for another pathway, and then for the assessment district as well. So it was very 3,000-foot level, right?
Yes.
Okay.
don't know.
That's a lot, I think.
Yeah, it is. I would think we would look around, at least look around at some other firms and get ideas. Is this the norm? If it is, then maybe we should go with them. But if it's not, then no.
So
we
should. So in 2019, when we first hired them to do the assessment district, I believe we paid upwards of $40,000 for the report.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us almost a year to get it together. So it did entail a lot of work, which is kind of why we went back to the same company so we wouldn't have to do that again. So that's the direction we took at first. But we can go and do an RFP, or not even an RFP because it's a service. So we can go and look at other companies, but they could take this report that we have, but it's gonna cost quite a bit. It'll cost money. So
only just $2,500 to.
And so, can I ask you a quick question? That $40,000 is basically you spent that money and nothing ever came of it, correct? We decided that wasn't the direction we wanted to go.
Correct. It doesn't look like it ever went past committee based on the research that myself and Kelly have done.
That is correct.
So I guess the question is, we're trying to find ways to bring more revenue in to help with landscape and stuff like that. Are there other avenues that we can look at that's not as costly? And maybe it's not an assessment. Maybe we need to look at different things to do for that. It seems kind of crazy to spend that kind of money and not get any value out of it.
Yeah, during the conversation, they were talking about homeowners association type thing. But again, they noted that is something they're still having to research, but that would be an option as well.
So when you say, if you say some other things, Ashley, are you looking at grants? And then we have been down the grant path before. They are very difficult for us to get because we are not a disadvantaged community.
I don't know, maybe we need to think outside of the box. I don't know what I mean.
Okay.
Sorry, that doesn't help at all. But I just I know in some instances you've got to spend money to make money, but it seems like we're kind of going down another path. So maybe as a committee we need to brainstorm. I don't know what our other options are to help put some more money into that, because I think, Carolyn, correct me if I'm wrong, we both agree that we need to figure out a way to bring steady revenue into those other areas that are having landscaping concerns and stuff like that, but we're just not quite sure how to do that. And it seems kind of crazy to spend $40,000, $50,000 and still come up with the same solution that
come up with
we
nothing.
Did in 2019.
I agree with you completely. And Dina and I talked about yesterday about it's easier to get grants for parks than to say we want something for landscaping. So do we look at our area, the Clipper, was going to be a park, and then the landscape islands on the streets. Dina had a fabulous idea about those, but do we make those parks, and do we maybe ask people if they want to just like adopt a highway, adopt an island on the end of XYZ Street? I'm thinking out of the box here. That's all. But maybe these are some things that we can look at.
Those are definitely options. I'm not sure it's going to be a secured continued revenue stream, which I think is somewhat challenging. One thing I also want to bring up that, with that cost, let's say it was $40,000 or $50,000, $60,000, they do that report and it still has to get, voted in by the voters.
Voted on.
Yeah.
And one thing about that, as we were talking, this popped into my head that when there was that HOA that covered a lot of Zone 8 when we first moved here, and then it was voted out. And how they voted it out was somehow their attorneys found a way not to do the 50% plus one vote. They got it. I have no idea, but I can find out. But they were able to find out that it was legal some way to do 50% plus one of the people who voted.
So let me ask you a question, if I may. That HOA, was it just for the homes? Because I don't believe it included parks. Okay, it didn't include the parks. Correct?
No, but I'm saying if they found a way to do that, to do it, you know, the 50%, the 50 plus one is going to be difficult. But if there's a way that we could work around it, because that's going to be tough.
No,
that's
I don't think so.
But,
I don't believe so.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
And maybe we need to work backwards instead of forwards. Like, we're assuming that Carson Rec needs a whole bunch of money to do this. Is there a way for us to ask Carson Rec to put together a, like, a wish list of how much money they would need to sustain either what they're doing or improve what they're doing? I know that we have like one-time costs and we figured out ways to kind of fund those through grants or whatever, but like how much more money do they need in order to feel like they're doing okay or like meeting the needs of the community in the landscaping part and keeping up with everything? And maybe we need to see what that total cost looks like before we try and, you know, do an overlay or an assessment or an HOA or something like that that is going to cost a ton of money. And really, they're not looking for an extra $500,000 a year. They're looking for an extra $40,000 a year, you know?
No, I think that's a very good point, actually, and I mean, we need to know what goal we're working towards. I think that would help, but, you know, considering Clipper finishing up things there, and there was talk about putting something over the gravel that was used so it wouldn't roll all over. What is the cost of that? You know, just finishing up the things that we need to do, and then what would the maintenance be? I know I'm going to use the wrong term here, but redoing Discovery Bay Boulevard, getting that up to date however we want it, and then what do we need to do to maintain that, and getting actual prices, and that includes the islands and whatever else. But I think that's a very good point. And I still don't think it would be a bad idea to at least talk to a couple of assessment companies and say, you know, this is where we are. Give me an approximate figure, just so we have some additional information. You know, we don't need to launch a study with them or anything, but just get an idea of what we're looking at.
I'm not opposed to that either, but I think we need to understand. I know we're getting ready to start doing budgeting in a couple months, but I don't think we've ever gotten a really clear understanding of what monies or funds are needed, and maybe it's not even just Parks and Rec. I mean, I know water, wastewater has some stuff too, but I think it would be good to understand what that department feels like they need.
Okay. So the report that we did in 2019 somewhat addresses that. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can work with finance, the finance manager, Margaret, and kind of take those numbers and add the COVID percentage and then escalators, and maybe we can take a look with management staff and see if that still makes sense, and bring that back as well. A question for you is, when you said you wanted me to reach out to, or us to reach out to other assessment districts, what is it that you want us to ask
them? Other
you don't want them to do a report.
So no, other companies just say, this is where we are. What would the cost for your company be to come in and do a presentation for us, and then to, you know, can you work with the old report? And then what would the cost of that? Just get some, we have something to compare this to.
Right.
Does that make sense? Ashley, you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, because what if they all come back and they're like, oh no, it's really going to cost like $10,000 to do a presentation and another $100,000 for us to do it. In my mind, then we're done with looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Do you have anything else, Alan, you'd like to bring up on that?
No.
Any more questions for Alan?
No.
Any public comment on what we've just discussed?
There are no hands raised.
No hands raised, and there's no one in the room, so I'm closing public comment. And now off to item E. We're going to be discussing the water wastewater rate study. And Allison, you are up. Allison, I'm going to destroy the name of your company. So, what was it?
L&T.
L&T. Okay, there we go. That I can handle.
Thank you. So I'm Allison Lohovich of Lohovich & Sen. I did the water and sewer rates 4 years ago, so this is an update. And I have a presentation. I don't know if you have a clicker or. So your water and sewer rates are enterprise funds, which means they're their own business units at the town, which means they're totally, or should be, and they are, for your town, totally self-supported by the water and sewer rate revenue. So they're not, you know, relying on transfers from other funds or taxes or anything like that. They're their own revenue source. Water and sewer rates are subject to a number of legal requirements. Proposition 218, I'll talk about that a lot, is the governing legal statute. There's a number of substantive as well as procedural requirements with Prop 218. And the number one requirement is the rates have to be fair. We have to base the rates on your actual costs. So operating costs, capital improvement costs, keeping up reasonable reserves, upgrading and maintaining your water and sewer systems over time. The rates must be proportional to how customers take service. So high water users should pay more than lower water users. Sewer dischargers like restaurants that have a lot of pollutants should pay more for sewer than like homes that don't pollute as much. And under Prop 218, you are allowed to do a 5-year rate plan, all one public outreach process. Discovery Bay has traditionally done 4-year rate cycles, so we have the option to do 5-year. We probably put it in the report and the public notice thing just so you have that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally up to the board whether you want to implement that 5th year or not. So procedurally, we need to do a cost of service study, which is this process right now, the rate study. Once the board approves the rate study report and agrees to the numbers and the proposal, I will mail out a notice of a public hearing to all your property owners and tenants. There's a 45-day waiting period after that postmark, and it's calendar days, not business days, calendar days, and then we would hold a public hearing, and the public has the opportunity to make public comment, and then the approval process is a protest process. So of the 6,100 or so account holders, if more than 50% protest, you cannot adopt the rates. So we're looking at about 3,500 or so that would have to protest. It's very, very unlikely for a community of your size that you would get that many protests, but we have to follow all the requirements. I think we've only ever had a few dozen, maybe, or a few hundred, like maybe less even protests. A lot of the rate study goals. It's to update the cost of service, so making sure we're keeping up with inflation. The big challenges this time around will be capital improvements. Your operations are being covered adequately. Your debt is being covered adequately. It's really big projects coming up. That'll be the challenge for the rates. And then checking all those boxes off for the legal requirements. We are proposing new rates go into effect July 1st of each year for the next 5 years, so concurrent with your budget, your fiscal year cycle, and then that allows you to get the sewer rates on the tax roll by mid-August, like August 10th, I think is the deadline. So we'll move ahead. One more slide, please. Okay, so this is your current rate schedule. It's pretty industry typical. I wouldn't recommend any big rate structure changes for this rate adjustment. So you have a fixed meter charge for different meter sizes. So larger meters pay more, smaller meters pay less. And then you have a difference irrigation and domestic accounts, and the difference in price is fire flow protection, where irrigated landscape doesn't need fire flow. And the way the engineers explained it to me is that pumps and tanks and everything has to be upsized a bit more to provide that really intense high capacity fire flow that doesn't actually benefit irrigation customers. And then anyone who has had their meter installed, meter replaced, is paying that $8.01 payback fee. And then all users are paying about $2.50 per 100 cubic foot of actual water usage. 100 cubic feet is 748 gallons of water. So some agencies have tiered water rates where higher levels of use pay more. We could look into that Discover Basin, we've done that kind of rate structure. It really makes sense for agencies with multiple sources of water. There's a lot of legal restrictions on how you can do tiered rates. So unless there's really a desire to look at that tiered rate structure, I would suggest keeping the current rate structure. So what we do is we just increase the price of the different rate categories rather than restructure how people are paying their bills. Had a few more notes on here. So your current rate revenues are about $4.9 million. You have about, what is it, about 60% collected on the volume fee, and then about 40% collected on the fixed portion of the charges. Next slide, please. So I looked at your typical water usage statistics. So the average single family customer is served by a 1-inch meter and uses 13 units of water monthly. So that person's typical bill is $55 a month, but that doesn't include the meter fee. So currently, the typical bill compared to other local agencies is pretty low. Discovery Bay has always had this, where the water bill tends to be pretty low, and then the sewer bill is pretty high, so it kind of averages that, where the total combined bill kind of falls in the middle typically. And I will say all these rate surveys, this is the current rates. A lot of agencies will also be doing July 1st rate adjustments. So I'll periodically update this table as we kind of move through the study.
Mm-hmm. That's good information.
Slide, please. So as I alluded to, both the water and sewer funds are doing fine. You're covering operations, you're covering your budget, you're covering debt service. It's really capital, big projects coming up that would be the impetus for big rate adjustments. So we're paying down 2017 bonds, 2022 bonds, and you have a healthy operating reserve. So absent any capital projects, I would recommend just minor inflationary
especially after COVID with the supply chain issues and with inflation going as it is. So we're going to be discussing that with water, wastewater as well. So I got a rough estimate. I haven't had a chance to talk to them yet, so I don't want to share it yet, but it's higher than that number. So,
and then one other project was the underwater crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Estimated at 2.6 million. So really rough numbers. The town has not been afraid to issue debt as appropriate. So I did run some very rough kind of debt financing numbers. So a 20 year, it could be a bond, it could be a loan, it could be other types of financing. I did 20 years at 4% interest. Interest rates are always subject to change. 4 years ago when we did this, we worked very closely with your financing team and got constant updates about the interest rates. So probably we'd do something similar this time. But just a really rough look at the market for this presentation. I was estimating every $5 million of debt would be about a $5 increase on the monthly bill. I think there's one more bullet point there. Yeah, so each $5 million of debt is about $370,000 in annual debt service costs divided amongst 6,100 accounts divided by 12 months. Gets about $5 per month increase on the typical monthly bill. So then we can do multiples, you know, to a 20 million, you know, would be, $20 increase on the bill. But I mean, if we go back to the survey chart, I'm kind of jumping around, so I apologize for that. Slide six. Your typical water bill is $15 less than the closest comparables. $55 compared to 70 is the next, you know, Stockton, Diablo, and then 90, 97. I mean, even with a $20 or $30 increase, you're still very much in the middle of the pack there for water. So just something to keep in mind. However, we can talk about sewer, which already has a very high rate, and you're already at the higher end of the chart for sewer. Definitely is a balancing of where we invest funds and where people kind of feel it in their pocketbook. So on sewer, can jump ahead. Oh, great. So for sewer, residential customers, so single family and multifamily, pay a fixed bill. I show the monthly equivalent here is billed on the property tax roll, but this just gives you an idea of like what the equivalent monthly cost would be. There's a difference between single family and multifamily. Multifamily apartments, condos, townhouses, they typically have less flow into the sewer, so they're charged less, to keep proportionality about costs and attributable rates. And then your non-residential customers are billed based on metered water usage. Let's assume that if they had any outdoor use, it would be an irrigation-only account that would be billed only for water, not for sewer. And restaurants, bars, and dining is charged a much higher rate because it's a very high pollutant content that goes to your sewer treatment plant. That's more expensive to treat and dispose of. So your current sewer rates generate about $6.4 million in annual revenues. And we love sewer because it's billed on the tax roll, and it's pretty much fixed constant revenue that doesn't go up and down like water usage. If everyone conserves a lot, your water sales go down. Sewer is a nice fixed steady revenue source. Okay, so this chart is the average monthly residential sewer bill. Mountain House is out there is the very highest that I was able to find for this Bay Delta kind of area. This has always been the case. I've done a few cycles of the rate study now for Discovery Bay, and that's been consistent. Some other agencies don't have as high of a treatment requirements as you all. Yeah, or there's larger service areas who have an economy of scale or some other factors. Some of these are disadvantaged communities that maybe would have that, again, we, every $5 million of debt service is about a $5 increase on the bill for this very preliminary high-level debt service estimate. And again, we work with your financing team to kind of fine-tune the interest costs and the impact on the bill. So you can go to the next slide. So these are very preliminary high-level estimates of capital funding costs that impacts on the bill. What I do is I look backward from our desired rate implementation date, so that July 1st date, going backwards, all the milestones we need to hit to get you there. So I was suggesting a March 6th informational presentation to the board. Probably be very similar to this presentation, unless we have more concrete capital improvement numbers, or we can kind of fine tune what we want to present at March 6th, just to keep us on track, on schedule. I had April 3rd as finalizing the rate study. I don't know if we'll quite be there yet. I built in a little bit of a few weeks of wiggle room into our schedule. So I had the public hearing scheduled for June 5th. We could potentially do that second board meeting in June. I think the Juneteenth holiday is in there, so I don't want to schedule and make sure you have a board meeting on that date, or if we have a later June board meeting. But we do need to keep an eye on the procedural schedule, because we do have a 45-day waiting period where we need to get the list of all your property owners, make sure we do legal review, mail all those out in time, and then schedule 45 days later to have that rate hearing. So we need to keep an eye on the schedule for spring. We need to coordinate with the budgeting process as well as the capital improvement planning. But we wanted to do an initial presentation just to start getting the discussion going and giving you a range of impacts. There are some pretty significant funding challenges for the improvement projects. So that's what I've got. I'm happy to take any feedback, answer any questions. Schedule and kind of plan out next steps. All good. All good.
Yeah, this is a necessary step for us. So, I'm good. Actually, what questions do you have?
I'm good as well. It seems pretty straightforward.
Okay. Do we have any public comment?
There are no hands.
With that, I will close public comment on that discussion item. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. It was very good, very clear. And now we will discuss possibly adopting a new commercial card program. And Margaret, I understand you're going to be talking to us.
Correct. Good evening. Yes, good evening. How are you all? I'm here to present to you potential to move to a new commercial card program. As the staff report shows, that the district does have a commercial card program with another competitor, U.S. Bank, and we have been evaluating the various programs out there, and particularly looked at the one with Umpqua Bank. They are a CSBA affiliate, and so it comes with high recommendations, if you will, about their program. So staff did meet with Umpqua to talk about their commercial card program and how it can support us in making sure that we have a more effective and efficient program that allows us to continue to have credit cards available to our staff so that they can make the necessary purchases with water, wastewater, with landscape, at the community center, or any administrative costs for supplies, travel costs, whatever it may be, to again make sure that we can continue operations moving forward. So, as the staff report reflects, there are a number of reasons to consider Umpqua as a viable option for this new commercial card program. It talks about administration, it allows for multiple users to be on the accounts, that they can serve in different capacities, so that sort of is a read-only or more of an administrative rights. This great provides us additional information that's necessary. They also provide the option for what they refer to as virtual cards. So if there are individuals that need to travel that does not have a district credit card, you could put a certain dollar amount on with even a time frame. So if someone wants to travel, they don't want to go out of pocket, we can provide virtual cards. There are also ways that we can use virtual cards for some of our recurring vendor spend. So for instance, if we have right now, we use our district credit card for some recurring expenses for utilities. And so this allows us to actually assign a specific card to that particular vendor. What's the benefit of that is that if something were to happen in our current program and we had, let's say, fraud on that account for whatever reason, then we would have to go back to each one of those ones, those recurring charges, and that gave them a new number. Now, if we separate it out, it's that we don't have to go through that process because we would just have to tie it directly to that one vendor. So that's seen as a value add. And so that allows us to use that more appropriately. They also allow us to have Visa protection. So again, this is something that I think all cards do, but I just wanted to share that with you. They do offer a rebate for the program. Our current one does as well, but this one gives us a 1%. So any additional credit card expenditures that we have with them, that then we would get this 1% rebate, and those funds that we do receive, you know, are then used for, are received sort of into our general fund and can be used as we see necessary. And it's not necessarily tied to any particular fund, so we could use it, hurdle landscape maybe, or something like that could be used for that. And then it also allows for growth in the program. One of the benefits they talked about was that there are current vendors that were paying, you know, by check. There is a move, if you will, for banks to actually get away from writing checks and to move more towards ACH and even to these virtual cards because it reduces, if you will, the potential for fraud out there and for misuse. Now, we do have safeguards to make sure that that doesn't happen, but that nonetheless, again, this is a movement that banks are moving towards. And if we move certain vendors over to sort of this credit card purchase, that also goes towards our rebate. So that's something that we could grow into if we see that is a value add to the agency here. So attached also into the staff report are two items. One was the draft resolution that if the board is desirous of moving forward, that would be the resolution. So it's just there for your reference. So if there's any concern about that, we can certainly take a look at that. And then second is the presentation that UMPA provided to us. So if there was any additional information that you wanted about the program or about UMPA, we would have that there. Again, we are looking for just the committee's sort of thoughts and, comments around this particular topic. If not, then the hope is to then bring it to a future board meeting in March to then actually have resolution approved. And then from there, if the, again, assuming that the board does approve this, is a small sort of turnaround to sort of move towards this new credit card program. As I indicated there, it's a few weeks to be able to do so. So with that, we just wanted to share this with the committee, get your feedback, and take your direction from here before we proceed forward.
Thank you, Margaret. That was wonderful. Now, a couple questions for you. Do we have an idea on any cost savings, or would there be increases in any cost for this?
So really, there isn't necessarily cost savings. The difference is really, you know, really driving the program from a rebate perspective. So because we don't pay anything
right there. Okay.
I mean, so really, you know, other than the regular use of the credit cards, you know, for what our ongoing purposes are. So there's no cost to us. What, again, could be the benefit to us is that we continue to explore the ways to use the virtual cards to move certain vendors into being paid through the credit card program.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it changes some internal operations, so we would have to work, you know, on how that would happen.
Well, that's
but the idea is that we would, again, to kind of grow the rebate program, and then that is sort of a benefit to us. So it's not necessarily a cost to us, but it becomes a benefit to us.
And it does seem like the ease of use improves for our card users as well as for the administrative end of things. So,
right.
No, I think it sounds good. Ashley, any comments, questions?
No, I think it sounds good. I like the fact that it, you know, allows for some of our staff to be able to have virtual cards if they're traveling or something and they're not having to go out of pocket for that. And the rebate stuff is always really good.
Okay, then the only thing that we need to do, we need to do a vote on this at all or anything, or just?
So today was just to provide you an update and any feedback.
Perfect.
If you are, you know, saying that this is something to be able to move forward to the board, I'll defer to how the process works here at the town, but I'm just looking, for me personally, at like a nod of approval, and then we can, like I said, bring it to a future board meeting, either first or second board meeting in March.
Okay.
I agree.
Do we need to, do Ashley and I need to vote
up? You both have to kind of agree to move it forward to a future board meeting.
So Ashley, do you agree to move it forward to a future
I do.
Board meeting? Me too.
I agree.
Okay, I agree.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
I know, it'd be fun to have that gavel. and then, Margaret, I think you were going to discuss a couple other things as far as funding for landscaping where we have some difficulties, and if you came up with any creative ideas.
Yeah, I understand that question about the, I can't remember which committee meeting, probably the one back in December. And really reflecting on it, I mean, I think you guys have been looking at all the areas that there, the grants that are out there. Certainly we have, other places that we can look for funding, such as the Hoffman Funds. There's still some funds available in that particular place that you just need to assign, but this is, you know, sort of a one-time use, if you will, not necessarily. I heard you guys on your previous discussion item about the assessment district HOA, you know, this wouldn't necessarily cover for ongoing, but certainly it could help you move things forward. The other area there, and again, we certainly had monies allocated, if you will, from the interest earnings for funds that are invested at California Class, as well as the monthly market at Five Star. And so those are funds that are available. And as other things are happening, there are other revenues that are coming in that could be used towards it. But I would say all of those are being used sort of on a one-time basis. I think that the concern that you guys have, which I would agree, and I certainly am one that when you mentioned about budget as well in that discussion item, is really not necessarily looking at the 1 year, but the multi-year, because you might be able to afford it this year, but you know, if we don't know what the costs are in future years, you know, how are we going to be able to sustain it? So I do look at a multi-year approach. We can certainly look at how do we make sure that the ongoing costs are being supported as well. So to answer maybe your more specific questions, outside of what has already been done, what Jane has shared with you, which is going after those grants, I don't know that I have any additional things other than to say that there are some monies that are available for sort of like catching us up on maybe some deferred maintenance and replacement of some equipment, if you will, but that is sort of like the one-time use. And I really will take your word to as they consider, you know, putting forth the budget in 2024-25, but really thinking about it from a long-term perspective as well, because that is important, because if you have, you know, bigger needs than what is there, then I think that's what we need to figure out. So.
All right, well, if you have an epiphany while you're doing the budget for next year, you
I will do so.
Don't hesitate to get hold of Dina.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to hear about it. Okay.
Absolutely, I think, you know, that's an important thing, is to figure out how to most effectively use your dollars. And so I think that, you know, when working with the management team there, we can certainly come back and figure out how to make that happen. So.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. Thank you, Margaret, very much. Any questions, Ashley, for Margaret?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right. Any public comment? No hands raised. All right, closing public comment. Now, any future agenda items? With that,
no, I don't have any.
Okay, with that, we will close the February 21st finance meeting of Town of Discovery.